Fellas, the Rangers are on the brink of clinching a berth in the Stanley Cup playoffs. My question to you guys is, who starts game one when they get there?
Is this a rerun? Is this December or January again? It's Henrik Lundqvist.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
I'm just having some fun with you guys.
It's Hank.
We have a show to do. Don LaGreca coming up on Rangers Blue Line next.
Welcome to Rangers Blue Line, covering the blue shirts from the SNY studios. Here's your host, Brian Compton.
All right, welcome to the show. Brian Compton, Nick LaCalzi, and Adam Rotter here with you in New York City. We'll be joined by Don LaGreca, the radio voice of the New York Rangers, in just a few minutes. Fellas, what's going on with JT Miller?
He's struggling. He's hit some sort of a wall, and he's back to being the struggling, inconsistent JT Miller over the last few games, as opposed to the awesome future cornerstone of the Rangers that he was in the first 56 games of the year.
With the exception of Rick Nash, things still seem a little stale up front.
Yeah, it seems like, not that the wheels are falling off, but guys are struggling. Key guys are struggling at the wrong times. Like, we can obviously attribute what happened with Hank in Anaheim to rust, and we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. But JT Miller has to be an integral piece of the Rangers' success in the playoffs, and hopefully he gets this fixed before the playoffs get underway.
And I think he will. But you're right. Ultimately, a lot of guys are struggling. Rocket Richard hasn't scored in a while. Of course, that's Michael Grabner, who's now playing more like how I expected him to, getting a ton of chances and not really converting on most of them. But, you know, Stepan starting to score. Zook's had a couple of good games here and there. You know, they've had different guys isolated for a game here or there. Like, Zibanejad had 2 points, but didn't have a good game against Anaheim.
Sloppy with the puck.
Yeah. They're all
– right,
all
not just Zibanejad, all of them.
It's the same thing that it's been since Alain Vigneault took over this team. This team, when this team can't manage the puck well, they are just awful, and they can't win.
Look, I didn't like trading Brassard, but getting Zibanejad back was a name that I really liked, having watched him when he was in World Juniors and calling some of his games during the summer camps. But his leash has been gigantic this year. I mean, since the injury.
What are you going to do?
No. Not as far as, like, pulling him from the lineup or anything like that. But he's got to get going. I mean, since he broke his leg, he scores once or twice in overtime. He does score some big goals. He has flashes in games, but he's way too inconsistent right now. And with 6 games left, the onus to me falls on him a little bit to establish himself here as a second line center and a good one at that for the Rangers headed into the playoffs.
I think it's Miller's whole line. I mean, Kevin Hayes hasn't been as good as the first few months of the season. Again, these guys have to figure this out. There's only 6 games left for the Rangers in the regular season, but it looks like they're going to play the Canadiens in the first round of the playoffs. Carey Price, we know what he can do. These guys have to find a way to start scoring some goals again.
Well, the Rangers still have Chris Kreider, so I'm not too worried about Carey Price.
Oh, boy.
I'm pretty sure that's already, to get everyone in Montreal riled up. That's top on the Rangers' whiteboard in their room of things to do against Montreal. But, everyone's kind of just going. I think that Miller and Hayes, they were playing so well, and they were probably overachieving to a certain point, and now I think that they've come back maybe too far and that their overall consistent game is probably somewhere in the middle. But, you know, they've got some time. They'll have a few days before the playoffs start. Hopefully they'll be able to, figure out whatever's going on or have some other guys start scoring and let them, figure it out on their own.
The biggest bright spot the last few weeks is Rick Nash. I mean, the puck's going in.
He's been good for them all season. Pucks just weren't going in for him.
I agree with that. But now, look, you just hope it's not Pika too soon with 6 games to go. But if he can go into the playoffs on a roll, I mean, there's no guy that the Rangers need more going offensively than Rick Nash.
Agreed.
That would be an asset that they haven't had for 3, 4, 5 years now in the playoffs when they needed it most. If Nash gets going, the Rangers are a different team.
Again, they need everybody to contribute offensively. But for me, Adam, an even bigger issue is how sloppy they've been with the puck. This is not the Rangers team that we watched the first few months of the season.
No, they're the team that we watched in December when they couldn't win in January. And since they were scoring 5 goals a game and they hit that little skid, they've been relatively inconsistent. They've been swinging back and forth between games where they're fast and they're good, and then there are games where they're not good and sloppy with the puck. But Ronta or Lundqvist saved them, and they found ways to win. You know, they're they are who they are, I think. I don't know that they can score 5 goals a game into the playoffs, but I think that they're better than the team that they're currently showing.
I would hope that by tonight or through the next day or two, Vigneault settles on a group of not only 12 forwards, but 4 lines that he likes. Because with everybody bouncing up and down and back and forth, is Vizi a second liner or a fourth liner? Does he trust Buchnevic? Are we going to let Buchnevic? Are we going to take the shackles off? Or are you going to play him 8 to 10
minutes
a game?
You're going to do it now?
I mean,
I'm with you. I understand what you're trying to say here, but they're not going to take the shackles off Buchnevic now and let him be a top 6 forward.
He is
what he is going into the playoffs.
Well, he's not going to be a top 6 forward because Jimmy Vesey's been playing really well.
Right.
So Jimmy Vesey goes into the top 6. And then as we've all talked about all season long, when one of those guys is in the top 6 and Grabner's playing up, it's Vesey or Buchnevic onto the fourth line, and you have to make a decision. Do we want the potential for offense with Buchnevic? Do we want to put him on the second power play? Or do we want to go in a different direction? He had one shot attempt in the past 2 games. I'm not saying that the Rangers need Buchnevic and that he's going to be the key. But if he's in the lineup, he at least needs to fire the puck towards the net. Yeah.
I do think they need him to be playing and playing well to make a real deep run here. And that might mean Grabner on the fourth line. Look, huge fan of Michael Grabner. I think everybody listening knows that. I know you two do. I'm fine with putting him back on the fourth line. There's still going to be chances that Grabner creates on the fourth line. He doesn't need Hayes and Miller necessarily to create his chances, and then that fourth line becomes a potentially dominant checking line. Let's see if Grabner, Lindberg, and Foss can shut down opposing team second lines, and then you have a weapon to deploy defensively.
They're going to have to, because what other line are you going to turn to do that, right?
I could see that, but yeah. I would have no problem with Buchnevic and Vesey rotating between the second and third line, putting Grabner back on the fourth, saying, look, the pucks aren't going in, and that's fine. I'm still not in the camp of these people panicking and saying they should have traded him and this, that, and the other thing. Michael Grabner's still a weapon. And on the fourth line, if he could create a goal every 4 games even from the fourth line with Lindberg and Fast, it's a tremendous asset.
I just think that it's much more likely that it's not Buchnevic and Vesey that's switching. It's Buchnevic and sitting in the press box and Tanner Glass coming in.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think that that's just the more likely scenario, especially, Buchnevic is a young guy. He's had a strange year with all the injuries, and Montreal kind of pushed the Rangers around the last time. And again, I'd like Buchnevic to stay in the lineup. I would go Buchnevic, Peary, Pumple before I put Tanner Glass in.
Yeah.
But I do think that Alain Vigneault is going to put Tanner Glass in, probably tonight against the Sharks. And then it wouldn't surprise me if he's the one who starts game 1 in Montreal.
I'm with you. I think that's just – he's Vigneault's guy. He is someone that Vigneault trusts in that bottom 6 role, that 12 forward role. I don't love it, but I must say Rangers Islanders at the Garden last week, that place was jumping when Tanner Glass dropped the gloves.
Yeah.
That's the loudest ovation I've heard for Tanner Glass in years. I mean, he does bring that element once in a while. He's nowhere near the player Buchnevic is. I think Grabner makes for a much more effective fourth line. But if it is Tanner Glass, it might be a pill you have to swallow watching the Rangers as long as Vigneault is the coach and Glass is under contract.
History tells us we have to trust Alain Vigneault when it comes to Pavel Buchnevic because he's hit all the right buttons with these other young kids. Hayes, Miller, you name it. Why is this guy sitting? We were screaming about it in seasons past, and we didn't understand it. But at the end of the day, AV has pushed all the right buttons with these young kids.
And again, the thing with Buchnevic that I continue to stress is that this is totally different for him. It's a longer season. He's literally on another continent playing with guys who don't speak the same language.
Right.
He had a really strange back rib kind of injury that he was out for a while. It's been a weird year for him. It's an adjustment year. I would expect a lot more from him next year.
Joining us now on the phone is our friend Don LaGreca. Don, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hey, guys. What's happening?
We're trying to figure out why the Rangers have become so sloppy as of late. What do you make of this?
Some people might say it's complacency. They've been locked into the number one wild card forever.
Yeah.
The only kind of drama is who they're going to play, and it looks like it most likely will be Montreal. But I don't sense that. I mean, I'm around the players. You could see how distressed they are about the way that they're playing. So I think complacency is just too easy an answer. I don't know what it is, but the turnovers have been egregious. Their penalty kill has been very, very sloppy. There are times there's fits and starts where they played very well. I thought they outplayed the Islanders the other night at the Garden, but just got sloppy in the third and lost the game on those two poor penalty kills. There were moments against the Ducks, but you know, I don't think anybody would be surprised if the Ducks won the Stanley Cup. I think they're that good, or at least represent the Western Conference. So if you're going to play a poor 10 minutes, a Ducks team's going to take advantage of it. And although they were sloppy against the Kings, it's just the Kings couldn't take advantage of it. So they've got six games to clean it up. I guess complacency is the easy answer, but I think it might actually go deeper than that.
Don, what are you looking for up front in the last six games? Because it seems like there's a ton of questions right now. Where's Grabner going to fit in? Again, we've been talking. I don't care where you put him in the lineup. I think he's an effective player. The biggest thing I'd love to see right now is Rick Nash scoring. But how do you get JT Miller going again? It seems like it's been a while since Kreider scored. Where do Vizi and Buchnevich fit? And is Glass going to be playing a regular role for the Rangers?
Well, it's a great. These are all great questions. Let's start with Miller. I do like him with Grabner and Hayes. I do think there's a chemistry there. Miller has had some issues over the last couple of days, again, with his turnovers and just not thinking. But I do believe that there's chemistry with that line. And maybe if that continues with them all staying healthy and staying in the lineup, that Grabner can kind of find a scoring touch from early in the season. As far as the Buchnevich situation is concerned, I don't know how much AV relies on him in the playoffs. But at the same time, you know, Glass, I guess, can fit against Montreal if they play Ott. So you have that physical aspect to it. But I think the Rangers are at their best when they're rolling four lines. And if you need a goal, I don't know if you're going to put a line on that's going to have Tanner Glass, you know, trying to get you a goal. He will. I think there's a place for him if you're like down in the series, you need a big hit or you need a big moment to kind of get things going. There was a fight in the Kings game that kind of woke people up that, you know, kind of got things going. But, you know, in the playoffs, if you need a goal, and let's face it, what's kept this team from taking, you know, a major run against Pittsburgh or when they've gotten beaten in the past, not being able to find that goal. So, but Buchnevich is a guy that really doesn't belong on the fourth line, but he's not experienced enough to play with the top players. So they've got to use these six games to try to find the right matchups. I agree with you, Nash starting to score. Kreider, I think he's had a great season. He's just kind of in a little bit of a malaise right now. I don't know what he was thinking in the LA game. He was all over the place. My partner Dave Maloney was screaming at some of the decisions he made. So I guess it's an easy answer to say just use these six games to fix it. But there are some things that AV is going to have to try to plug up here to get him ready for the playoffs.
Don, 6 points in the past 20 games for JT. They need this guy to be on top of his game when the playoffs roll around. How is he handling all of this?
He seems to be handling it fairly well, at least to us. But if there's a guy that shows more frustration on the ice, I'd like to see it. You know, yeah. This is a guy that slashes the glass. He's pounding his thing. He takes it real personal. He understands the maturity level. I think we went into the season, I looked at Chris Kreider, and I said, that's a guy that I think has the best upside. And Miller and Hayes are two guys that also are right along that line where if they're going to be special, they've got to take the next step. And there are times Miller looks like he can do it. But as you said, those stats just don't seem to jive. But I do think that Grabner and Hayes line do that. They seem to be together the most. They seem to, I think they watching them and calling the last couple of games with them on there, it seems like they do, especially Hayes and Miller, have a chemistry that needs to work. It's just that Miller's just got to find his scoring touch here, and he's got six games to do it.
What's your take on the defense? Not to go into more question marks, but Dan Girardi, I mean, it feels like we're really down on the team. I'm not at the moment. I just think that it's time for them to kick it into gear. But on defense, it's the same thing. Girardi and Klein are back. Can Vigneault keep one of them out of the lineup?
Yeah, well, I think it would probably be Klein, right? I mean, that just seems to make the most sense. Yeah. I think he wants Girardi to play with McDonough. Because I was a little bit surprised. I don't know what you guys thought. In the Kings game, when Girardi came back, he put Girardi right up there with McDonough, even though I thought McDonough and Staal actually played pretty well together.
Yeah.
But he wants that righty-lefty situation. He wants Girardi to play on that line. So I think Klein is the odd man out. They didn't want to play Girardi in back-to-back games. So Klein played against the Ducks, and they lost the game. They have another back-to-back coming up against Ottawa and Pittsburgh at the end of the year. So I think Klein will play there. But guys like Clendenning and Klein, they're out. I mean, so you're not taking Smith out of the lineup. He seems to want to have Girardi be there. But you're right. With that top pairing, we've been saying it all year. McDonough's solid. Girardi, not as much.
Right.
And you're going to get exposed when you're putting those two guys on the ice and you're trying to shut down a Crosby. You're trying to shut down a Pacioretty. you're trying to shut down, the top Ottawa centers line, with Hoffman or, whoever they put together there. And he is going to be the weak link. And if you've got the weak link, then it becomes a weak pairing. And it puts a lot of pressure on McDonough to get the job done. I love Holden. I love Smith. I think Shea is emerging into a guy that can be the next star
really good,
on this team. But are they going to be on the ice in a big spot when you're trying to get when you're trying to stop a major line? No, it's going to be McDonough and Girardi. Yeah. So that's a little bit of a weak link, and I think it's been a concern all year.
And that's why Henrik Lundqvist needs to be on top of his game come playoff time, Don. We know what we're going to see from Carey Price. It looks like the Rangers are going to get the Canadiens in the first round. This might sound ridiculous, but bear with me here. If Hank has a bad couple of games at the start of that series, the way Antti Raanta is playing, do you see any way that AV would pull the trigger and put Raanta in there?
You know, it's interesting because I think AV has talked very glowingly about Henrik, not only as a leader on this team, as a star on this team, but, his legacy with the team. And we saw him get pulled a couple of times at the Garden. And you saw AV glow whenever Hank bounced back.
Yeah.
And see, I'm with you. I think Ronta's proven himself that if you needed someone to steal you a game, he can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen the worst of the worst from Hank this year.
Yeah.
But boy, there's something about Hank that always seems to bounce back.
Sure.
He always seems to be better after a tough loss. Remember, when he gets pulled in the 7-6 game against Dallas, when he gets pulled, giving up 7 goals in the first 2 periods, he went on a 3-game winning streak after that. When he got pulled against Columbus, giving up the first 3 goals of that game at the Garden, went on a 3-game winning streak after that. So because of that, I'm not sure, maybe down 3-0 with nothing to lose,
yeah,
a spark. But if they lost the first 2 games in the Bell Center, which isn't out of the realm of possibility,
nice.
I mean, they can't win in the Bell Center. They can't beat Carey Price at the Bell Center.
Right.
It doesn't seem to – you wouldn't think that – I don't know if he would go to him in a game 3 at the Garden. I could be wrong, but I just think he does have that faith. I know the fans are ready to do it, but I'm not sure AV would.
And Lundqvist deserves that faith. I mean, almost a decade of just incredible play. Man, it would be something for the Rangers to be down 2-0 and to not have Henrik Lundqvist.
Take stones,
yeah, it really would. What's your take?
Here's the thing, guys, with that, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I just thought about this, is that, you have to think in terms of, all right, what if it works?
Yeah.
All right. So
right.
let's say you fall behind 2 and Raanta wins the next 4. Well, then Ronta's got to start the next series.
Yeah.
No, so he just opens the door to where now you can't shut down the Hank era. He's got too many years left on his contract.
But you're right. That's what it feels like you'd be doing, is if that did work. I mean, unless, right, look, maybe they win 4-3, Raanta doesn't play great, they go back to Lundqvist. But I don't think that's going to happen. What's your take on Lundqvist's head right now? Was that just rust, or was that like, did he need that game or the next game, let's say tonight, to have a big performance for his confidence to be at the level where it needs to be?
Yeah, I agree. I'm not sure how to take the Duck game, because he made some amazing saves in that game, but I don't think that the Rangers played very well defensively in front of him.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, yeah, why wouldn't there be rust? He went 3 weeks without playing a game. Tonight's interesting because you're going up against the Shark team that's lost 6 in a row. Going up against the Shark team that's really struggling offensively. So if he puts up a stinker tonight, I mean, that would be a problem.
Yeah.
But I would not be surprised, guys. They've got 6 games left counting tonight, that he plays in at least 5 of them, if not all of them, because I think they want to get him in a groove. Now, the only reason I'm not completely committed to all 6 is because they do have the back-to-back at the end of the season. And the game against Pittsburgh could be completely meaningless.
Yeah.
It might be, Pittsburgh may not need it. Rangers may not need it. Or maybe he doesn't play in Ottawa. But I think he's going to play in at least 5 of the next 6 just to get into that group. Because I'm with you. Once he gets in, he gives them their best shot to win. We can talk about Nash. We can talk about Miller. We can talk about the defense. They have no shot of winning anything without Hank being on the top of his game. And he is the great equalizer. I think Carey Price is better. But I do think that if Hank playing well gives them their best shot to make any kind of a run, use these games to get him right.
Don, last one. Ryan Getzlaf sure looked like Ryan Getzlaf the other night. There's no question about that. Ducks have won 4 in a row. I think it's Chicago's conference to lose, but I'm with you. The Ducks look really good. Is there anybody else out west that you think has a legit shot out there?
No, I mean, Minnesota's falling apart.
Yeah.
Dubnyk just stinks right
about
now,
Edmonton?
Right? I mean, yeah. I'm just wondering, with all of these kids who've never been in the playoffs before, I mean, it's been a decade.
Yeah.
It might be a little too overwhelming for them. And the problem with them is they've been so good. I don't think they go in really as like, oh, what a great story. You know, I think they go in with such fire. I mean, who knows? They might still end up winning the division. I just don't know if they can make a run. I like Talbot, but Calgary could be a little scary because of where they play, but I'm not in love with their goaltending. San Jose looks like they're completely shot. I think, you know, Thornton, Marlowe, older players yeah. went to the Stanley Cup final last year. I think it's between the Ducks and the Blackhawks. And you brought up something great. Same thing I thought. I had basically said the Blackhawks are the team to beat, but I was so impressed with the Ducks lately and watching them live. They look like the Kings did in 2012 and 2014.
Yeah.
Big. They have the ability to finish. The only question with them,
Gibson,
do you
right?
just give Gibson the job back?
I think you have to. I know Bernier has been good, but John Gibson, I mean, this is going back to World Juniors. He's just such a poised kid. And it's his net for me. I know he got hurt. I know Bernier has been good, but I think you have to, right?
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I mean, watching Bernier, I think it's just kind of a streak for him.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the pedigree, obviously.
No.
And he did look shaky at times. Like, so I'm with you. But that Getzlaf, if he plays every day, because I was talking to guys at the Ducks, and that's not always the case. but I tell you what, and the guy that I love, and as an American, I feel a lot of pride. Cam Fowler is really coming into his own.
Yeah,
I was
he is.
Really impressed
yep.
with him too. So they've got all of the pieces to make you think. And sorry, no offense to Bruce Boudreau, but you get away from the Marty Schottenheimer of the NHL, yeah. a guy that actually and a coach that actually can win games
that is
in
a
the
great
postseason,
yep.
and not lose game sevens over and over and over again. That's another reason why I'm not in love with the Wild.
Yep.
That I would still say Chicago won, but Anaheim's a close second.
And I would love to see Edmonton Calgary in the first round. That would be tremendous.
Oh, please! Yeah. I'm looking at the standings, just hoping. I mean, it's still going to be. Somewhat, I guess it could happen, but how great would that be?
Yeah, be tremendous. Don, great stuff. We really appreciate your time.
I appreciate it because yep. I'm not going to do much of this on the K Show later, so thank you.
Thanks, Don. Take care, buddy. Don LaGraga, the radio voice of the New York Rangers, and make sure you check out his Game Misconduct podcast. It's tremendous. He's tremendous.
He really
so
is.
So much good stuff. All right, let's talk about the goaltending because we really didn't talk about it before. Look, I don't think it's going to happen either, but if Hank falters in the first couple of Adam's already shaking his head. The way Ront is playing.
No, this is a Patrick Waugh Montreal situation.
Yeah.
This is Henrik not getting – so it's not just that you lose the first two games. You're not going to give Henrik Lundqvist the first
game
start
three.
At home.
Right.
If they go down 0-3 and Lundqvist is bad, maybe. But if you're not going to give Henrik – game one at MSG, the first game there, that's him walking right up to James
He's
Dolan and
that.
Saying,
oh, you're right.
I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Trade me somewhere else. So I just don't see any situation where Henrik isn't playing at least the first three games unless he's hurt.
I'm with you. There's no way down 2-0 you could pull Hank at MSG. That would be it. Like you said, I mean, there's no – coming back from that.
But Don made a great point. What if Ronta steals the rest of the season?
Then
what
it.
Do you do?
That's it.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing
era.
As that happened earlier in the season when Ronta won four games in a row. And it's like, well, we need to get Henrik back in here. But Antti's playing so well. You know, if Ronta goes on and takes the Rangers on some kind of crazy run, you know, it's a Marc-Andre Fleury, Matt Murray situation.
Yeah.
You're going to have to try and move Lundqvist at some point because – you're going to have to go with Ronta then.
And I might shelter him in these last six games. I do agree with Don. I think he's getting five. But I think I give him Ottawa over Pittsburgh. If Pittsburgh's on a roll and they're scoring, and let's say Hank plays okay, but he gives up three here, yeah. four here, and then two, I give him Ottawa over Pittsburgh. I don't want to see Crosby put six past him on a second end of a back-to-back and just ruin the confidence a game before the playoffs. Not to say that he can't play great and beat Pittsburgh, but if he's on a little bit of a roll or if he is, teetering, that's not a game that's going to boost his confidence, I don't think.
And he did make some big saves in Anaheim, like Don said. And look, he had no help. No help whatsoever.
He had no help. And as we've noted before, he's bad in his first game after a layoff. He was 2 years ago, he lost to the Bruins in that game. And then he won like five or six straight to end the year. So I'm not saying he's going to do that, but, you know, he's got a pedigree that once he starts to play more and get into a rhythm, he becomes Henrik Lundqvist.
Hopefully the Rangers figure some things out here before the playoffs get underway. Fellas, great show. See you soon. Thanks again to Don LaGreca. Thanks for listening to Rangers Blue Line. We'll see you next week.
This has been Rangers Blue Line, part of the SNY.TV audio network.